Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we're going to talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And we started off with the, so sad news about our super fly actor, Mr. Kalen Walker. At the age of 27, he let his arrogance dumb him down. That, you know, when he was committing just sexually heinous behavior. And unfortunately, it cost him, and it's going to cost him, 50 years of his life. You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, God gives you gifts and blessings and talents. And, you know, far be it from us to use it, you know, against other people, against us. You know, you could turn that blessing into a curse. And unfortunately, you know, numerous women have complained to the authorities that, you know, there was rape and possible intoxication, sexual activities, and it's just, you know, even looking at this article again is so disturbing, and I'm noticing how certain things are just rattling me these days, and I really think it's just our young people. I think one of the things I should say is our young people. It's rattling me. It's rattling me that our young people, as talented and gifted as they are throwing this stuff away. And for what? For what? He's only 27 years old, and these crimes are going back to 2013. Do you realize that's almost 10 years ago? We're in 22 now. A couple of months from now, we'll be in 2023, God spare our life. And for 10 years, almost, he just committed all of these crimes. And now, you know, he's going to give several years to the prison system. You know, so, you know, and I pray for him. He definitely needs to keep, you know, young Kalen Walker, you know, in front of God. But the story of the morning was the drag queen that dressed as a demon and gave a sermon to the children in a United Methodist Church. And, man, you know, we really have to guard the gates of God's temple, you know, his statement, at least one of the statements, the primary statement. We are here to learn and to grow and to deconstruct and to reimagine what church can be, who church can be for, and how church can feel together. The church can be a place unafraid to denounce queer phobia, a place unafraid to name the sin of racism and to call for an end to white supremacy, a place where all have equal and equitable access, not just to the pulpit itself, to the sanctuary, but to God himself and that it represents within the community. The most disturbing part is you were given access to our children to have this conversation and to make this statement. You know, and yesterday we broke down, you know, what we meant, what we thought individually, what we meant, excuse me, but we are here to learn and to grow and to to deconstruct and to reimagine what the church can be. No, that's not our job. That is so not our job. The church is married to Jesus. We've already been given the blueprint for the church. The architect has designed this already. Who are you and I to come up one day, we wake up and we go reconstruct and deconstruct and reimagine. We can reimagine all we want. But when it comes time for us to call ourselves deconstructing the church, you can look at the church in both aspects, whether the church is the building, you know, what we call church, you know, that sanctuary, that temple, or the church, the body of Christ. Either way, that's already been designed. That is not up to us. Not up to us at all to sit down and reconstruct and definitely deconstruct what the church should be. You know, I get it. You know, in life, you know, we want to, you know, change just some things, and there's always evolution. Things are always evolving. Things are always shifting. Things are always changing. You know, especially since the quarantine from COVID. Ooh, a lot of stuff is different. Oh, they have broken down and changed a whole lot of things. However, you're dealing with the same God who has not given any business or reason for us to deconstruct his church. Yes, the church is going to evolve. We do know that much. That is deconstructed. Sorry. So, you know, especially, you know, who's saying this thing? This ain't me or you saying this thing. When we're looking for it to be improved, we're talking about a drag queen making this statement. A drag queen dressed like a demon. So whether you want to just deal with the drag queen, or you want to deal with the demon, or you want to just intermingle them both, I believe Shatice talked about yesterday, then who's speaking for the church? Who's speaking that we're going to deconstruct the church? A drag queen? You know, listen, God says that, you know, he's already spoken in regards to who will not make it into the kingdom. Oh, it's a whole lot of folks ain't going to make it into the kingdom because this is who they are. And God said, no, there is no room for you in my kingdom. I will not include you in my plan. That is not going to work. So Now I'm going to get up here. The one who God says will not be included in the kingdom, and I'm going to deconstruct the church. Or you're dressed as a demon. So now God's going to allow the enemy to come in and deconstruct his church. Okay, and they say the devil is a lie. That will not happen. And I don't even use that phrase, but I got to tell you, it's appropriate here. So come on, people. See, this is why we need to step up our game. Because, see, they on their game. They know what they're doing. They know what they want. Their goals have been set, and they are ready to meet them. They ain't thinking about God. They are not thinking about God, and they are showing that they're not thinking about God. Because just because you're talking about deconstructing the church and you want people to believe that this is, you know, something that's going to benefit the church, oh, I see something very different. All right? So come on now. Let's get our game together and stomp the devil out. All right. Well, today is Wow Wednesday, and we're giving God thanks for crossing us over into this part of the week. And you know how we do on Wednesdays. It's Ladies Day over here. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure that you tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
For more than a century, the Canadian Red Cross has been helping the most vulnerable people in Canada and around the world, including those who often go unnoticed. Each year, the Canadian Red Cross trains thousands of Canadians in bullying prevention. Because every child has the right to feel safe. Helping to make sure that happens is one of the most important things we do, with your support.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to Easy Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes. Oh, God has so graciously ushered us into the middle of the week. And while people are calling it hump day, because they just can't figure out how they're going to get over that hump. Oh, no, we're celebrating God. We're celebrating him, and we're giving God thanks that we don't have to figure out how we're going to get through this day. We already know, because we got Jesus on our side. He's just ushering us straight through the week. All right? So, you know, we have a little change. Today, Vivian is still celebrating her birthday and relaxing and chillaxing. And we got, always got a ram in the bush. God's always got a ram in the bush. So we got Chantice this morning, who's going to give us our socially conscious segment. So let's say good morning to Chantice. Good morning, Chantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. What you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, I'm sitting in for our girl Vivian, but we got a few very interesting stories today. our first story is stemming from rapper Noriega turned, I guess if you want to say, street journalist. He currently has a show called Drink Champs, where he recently had rapper Kanye West on. And anyone who knows that name and is familiar with that name knows anytime you hear he's been on something talking, you just hold your breath. Oh, goodness. Okay, what was he talking about? So Noriega is currently facing some serious backlash on social media because he had Kanye West on his show a few days ago, and he had to publicly get on the Breakfast Club show, a show, a morning show on Power 105.1. Noriega had to get on, and he had to publicly apologize to the black community and the George Floyd family for some very disrespectful and hurtful comments Kanye West made about George Floyd's death. Kanye West stated that George Floyd did not pass away due to the officer Chauvin's, that's how you pronounce his name, right? Chauvin's knee being pressed on his neck. But in fact, he passed away from fentanyl. These were Kanye West. This was his opinion. And he stated it very strongly. After the show was aired, that's when everyone started, you know, commenting, and there was a whole lot of backlash. And Kanye West is now being sued by the family, namely the daughter, George Floyd's daughter, for $250 million. And word is, Kanye West is not the only one who is trying to be pursued in this lawsuit, but also Noriega, since this was indeed Noriega's show, and he aired it. Since then, the show has been taken down off the air by Noriega, but I would like to read a couple of the statements that Noriega made. Quote, "I made a mistake doing the Kanye interview. I could come out here and say this was Kanye's thing, and that's it. And guess what? People will forgive me, and I could get away with that. But that's not what I'm doing. I feel like I failed my people. I called the Breakfast Club because I wanted to apologize to my people. I want to be honest. I support freedom of speech. I support anybody not being censored, but I do not support anybody being hurt. I did not realize that the George Floyd statements made by Kanye on my show were so hurtful. You have to realize that it was the first 5 minutes of the show. Like, when he walked in, he told my producer that if we stopped filming, he'll walk out. So I didn't want a Birdman moment like when he walked out, so I wanted the man to speak." End quote. And my heavy concern was, you know, he kept saying, I listened to the interview that he quickly had with the Breakfast Club, Noriega had with the Breakfast Club, when he was making the public apology, and he was saying, you know, I feel so ashamed and embarrassed because it's not like I wasn't in the room when Kanye made these statements. But, you know, pretty much because I was under the influence. If you have not watched the Drink Champs show, the intro to the show alone just shows you the type of vibe and timing. That's how, you know, it's set in the street, type of time that they're on. Because within the intro, you see them rolling up blunts, meaning rolling up weed to smoke. And pay attention to the title of the show, Drink Champs. So there's nothing but alcohol plushed out on set. Every type of alcohol you can think of. As they're talking and interviewing people, they're taking shots, they're doing all of this. So it is kind of crazy that you would act like you're so appalled and flabbergasted by what Kanye West said while you were sitting right there. But nonetheless, you say, you know, this has nothing to do with the risk of me being sued. I just want to come on and publicly apologize. I don't really know about that. I believe that the lawsuit has a lot to do with him making his public apology, but only he really knows. Okay, our next story stems from Atlanta. There is an Atlanta socialite by the name of Fred Williams, a.k.a. Will, a.k.a. Dr. Will, who has been renamed the Urban Swindler. So this Atlanta socialite now has a lawsuit against him from many women, a few men, but mainly the women, because he has been going around meeting women, trying to, I guess, pursue them so that he can now ask them to invest in businesses and now run off with their money. So one of the women got on and stated that he asked her for $5,000, you know, after he saw that she was working and she was making decent money. And he said, oh, you know, you should invest your money. And she said, you know what, you're right. Do you know any businesses? So he said that he had a couple of businesses, one of them being a weed business called Bluntly. And he told her that if she invested $5,000, that she would be able to make a profit. It would be some turnaround in it for her soon. As she was waiting for her profit, he sent her a contract for another one of his businesses. So she gave him the $5,000 to invest in Bluntly, which was the weed business. As she was waiting to get her return on that investment, before she knew anything, he was sending her a contract for another business, which was a trucking business, where if she invested $20,000, she would then get 45% from each tractor trailer that went out. Somehow, her mother ended up investing $2,100 into that business, and next thing they knew, they could not get in touch with this man anymore. There was another situation where he was in the military a few years ago, and he, you know, befriended one of the guys, and five of the military friends each invested $6,000 into a nightclub franchise called Crew, and they invested $6,000 for a 20% stake in the nightclub franchise. So what he was doing was, the Crew was actually a real franchise, so he was able to somehow get his hands on a real contract from them, but he did not have authority from the franchise to now work with them. So somehow I'm able to get your contract, so if you take it to your lawyers, because one of the women actually did, she took it to her lawyers and checked it out before she actually invested any money, and when she got the green light from the lawyers, because the contracts were real, she invested her money. Well, lo and behold, he had no affiliation with the franchise. And really quick, I would like to read a statement that was made by the COO of the Crew Franchising Company. Her name is Carol Wilson, and she stated, quote, "We are utterly shocked and surprised by the allegations that we have heard regarding Fred Williams. Mr. Williams inquired about owning and operating a Crew franchise in Raleigh, North Carolina, but never went past the due diligence phase and subsequently was never approved to own and operate a Crew. We have no affiliation whatsoever with Mr. Williams and have no further comment," end quote. So nonetheless, right now he's facing multiple lawsuits. And when he was approached, he just said, you know, all of these allegations are fake, and I don't have any further comment, and we'll just take it up in court. So I don't know if he just feels like because he got this money and because the contracts were real, well, some of them were real, because the other businesses were under DBA, which means do a business as, which means if you do not file these businesses, they are fake businesses. So some of them were real, some of them were not, but either way, he wasn't affiliated with any of them. So I guess he's feeling a little cocky right now, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to follow up on that story when it comes out, you know, how the lawsuits went. And for our wow story of the week, Kirk Franklin gets dragged for demonic lyrics during his BET Hip Hop Awards Cypher performance that took place earlier this month on October 4th. Now, I saw Rashida, which is a Love & Hip Hop celebrity, star. I saw her post on Instagram that she was a part of the Cypher this year, but she is a rapper, an Atlanta rapper, amongst other things, businesswoman, entrepreneur. So it didn't shock me. I saw her take a picture with Kirk Franklin, but I had no idea that he was a part of the Cypher until I was just scrolling on Facebook yesterday and saw all of the controversy surrounding his lyrics. Now, they were, there's many, many, many videos on YouTube currently where they're ripping apart this performance, where they're pointing out different things that they deem incorrect and, you know, demonic and questionable, and they even try to now affiliate that with other things that has been going on with them in the past, namely the situation with the phone call that his son leaked, but, you know, that's something that we did address here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. But there was one line in particular in his cipher that really had everyone going crazy. And because God deals with us in a thorough manner and he needs us to be thorough, it wasn't enough that I just heard that one line. So I had to go and look up all of the lyrics entailed in his cipher, all 16 bars, and I could not find it anywhere where it was written out. So I had to literally listen to the video line by line and write it down. And I'm going to read them, and then I will go back and highlight the line that everyone is buzzing about. So the 16 bars was done over Missy Elliott's Hot Boys beat, which is a secular beat. Anyone knows Missy Elliott. She is one of the most famous rappers and producers, teamed up with Timbaland. And this was this is a very well-known song. But the lyrics go as follow. Just got back from my sabbatical. I'm one of God's kids. Never thought I'd make it this far, but God did. Whom shall I fear since the Most High brought me? Since I've been 100, 50 tried to rob me. He can't cause God got me. See, I'm God's property. Jesus is prodigy, dopest ever probably. Always get character. Church can make some characters. They categorically denied God's character. I don't mean to preach, just trying to make you think. Was a dirty dish, now me and God in sync. Like Biggie, Jay, and Nas, the greatest capable, the lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat. Now I don't want to make no more mistakes with my kids. Heard the mixtape my son put out, Kirk did. So if the cipher don't take away from my sins, which could probably take away from my ends, tell my wife and my friends that we win. The end, I'm a fighter. Shout out to the Holy Spirit, my ghost writer. So the line that has everyone bugging out is the lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat. And anyone who knows their Bible knows that Jesus is referred to as the lion and the lamb. And there's one video in particular where one of the guys who was ripping this performance, the cipher, apart, he gave two biblical references. The first one is John 1:29, and I read it in the New Living Translation, which reads, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The second reference verse he gave was Revelation 5:5. I also read that in the New Living Translation, which reads, but one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Now, if any one of you have ever listened to my switch tips, I always talk about Matthew 25, and that's those were the set of verses that I thought about when I heard the goat. And there's, starting from verse 31, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And the ones on the right, he will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the creation of the world. And the ones on the left, he will say, get away from me. I know you not, because you did not do for me. So again, if you know your Bible, you know that if you are referenced to as the goats, you are being referenced to in being synonymous with the enemy and his demons. So there is a whole lot that Kirk Franklin has now successfully stepped his way into. And I have to admit, as much as I love his music, all I kept saying to myself every time I listened to these lines again, I was like, come on, Kirk. Come on, Kirk. Because this wasn't the only line that raised an eyebrow, but this was just the line that really set everyone off. So for those Christians who know, you now talk to Jesus and ask him to tell you how he feels about it. But this has been Shantice of Socially Conscious. Missing Vivian today, but hopefully she's listening, and I've hopefully made her proud. Thank you so much, Pastor Steph, for entrusting me with this segment today. And if you do have any stories that you would like to submit, please hit Vivian up on Facebook. Her Facebook name is Vivian BM. Thank you so much, Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your socially conscious presentation this morning. Wow. Wow. Was that different? Okie dokie now. We got some stuff to talk about. Where's my Elder Natisha? Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. Tamika, she about to steal your jingle, girl. Oh, my goodness, she's singing. Boy, we have a whole new Wednesday morning here. Oh, my goodness, we got the solos. We got the new...
the rap, we got rap.
Yes, of the socially conscious segment. Y'all go ahead and deconstruct. Y'all go ahead and deconstruct. Wow, Wednesday. Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed. Thank you. I am blessed. Happy to be on with the family today. Looking forward to our conversation.
Amen. 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 Thank you again for your prayer this morning, and giving God thanks that, you know, you have your platform where you're blessing each and every one of us every Wednesday morning. So,
amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. She has three stories. Well, two we can talk about. So let's talk about this Noriega and this Kanye, you know, this Noriega interview with Kanye. And I came across this, and for some reason I just would not stop here. I've seen this. This has been going on for a minute, and I've seen it where, you know, he claims that, you know, George Floyd died from fentanyl and not, you know, the not from the knee to the, you know,
not from asphyxiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now he's facing, you know, this lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. What's your thought here?
Well, I had not seen this. I mean, you know, it's not surprising, right? We have known that Kanye West has been off for quite some time now. We know that he has, you know, continuously said offensive things, you know, in regards to the black community. Unfortunately, you know, he's talked about slavery, he's talked about, you know, we lazy. He's always just very critical of his people, you know, with his mental illness. so we're
absolutely
not really shocked that, you know, that he would, you know, continue to raise this rhetoric. But I do think that, you know, I mean, we'll get into it. I'll make that thread a little later. But again, the impulsiveness, you know, and mental illness that's playing out through all these stories in regards to the decisions that we make, you know, how we just take freedom of speech and this idea of, you know, what is truth. You know, that started a couple of years ago when people were introducing that there are no absolutes. That, you know, whatever you believe to be true is true, you know, and I think we're seeing that play out in the way that people are talking where they feel like they can just say anything. But you will be judged, and you will have to pay for the things that you say.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Before I comment or on anything, let me give my thank you for joining us this morning. Let me not forget to say that. Thank you for joining us this morning. And let's hear what Lady Tamika has got to say. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning, everybody, on the Due Time Show. We do everything we can before you get up and go. Yeah. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Y'all are in real form this morning. Oh, my goodness. How are you today?
I am fine. Good morning. Good morning. Just, you know, it's always good to have a good laugh first thing in the morning.
It sure is. And I can always rely on the Due Time crew to do such a thing. Oh, my goodness. So what you got to say about this Noriega interview where Kanye just kind of spit out all kinds of things, but namely, you know, saying that George Floyd did not die from asphyxia. He died from fentanyl.
You know, we've seen time and time again where something that somebody has said causes all kind of havoc and pain. And the thing that bothers me is that, you know, the lesson is not being learned. You know, you just, and I mean, I've gotten to the point where anytime I hear Kanye West's name about anything, I'm just like, you know, I felt like Shanti, oh boy, you know, what did he do? You know, soon as I heard his name, I was already like, what did he do? What did he say? Who did he offend? You know, it's gotten to the point where, like, that name, I don't even want to hear it, you know. And we have got to learn that you don't get the right to just go out and say whatever you say, because, you know, it's not like you got a little small joke about somebody's hair, something that they can change. This is somebody's life. They're no longer here. And the level of hurt from the family to those who watched the video and et cetera, et cetera, you just caused serious damage. And, I part of me feels like he likes to cause that, you know, from Taylor Swift to, you know, I can go on name to name and person to person, thing to thing. He just I think he feels comfortable when other people are offended or suffering by something that he said or done.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I would not be surprised either. There's always an angle to, you know, what he does and what he says. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we have our Lady Nicole back with us again. So let's say good morning to our Lady Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. We talking about this Kanye. George Floyd is on his radar. What's your thoughts?
What's the word I'm looking for? I feel sorry for Kanye, and here's the thing. I'm questioning whether, you know, what he does, is it based off of his bipolarness? Is it a mental thing, or is it intentional? You know, I'm sure there's definitely, you know, a lot of people on one side and the other, but, you know, it would be nice if people could really think about what they say, especially him, since he has a voice, he's a celebrity, he has a following, he should be more aware and more in tune to what he's saying. But I think he needs therapy. I think that would be helpful for him. And the comment that he made is just ridiculous. It's just really terrible. And I think, you know, it seems like he goes in and out on the side of, you know, wanting to be saved and walk in Jesus because of his mother's influence on his life. You know, he probably was raised in the church, I'm sure. You know, so he's in and out. One minute, you know, he want to bring the church people in the choir, and then on the other side, he want to, you know, rip out talking about slavery and coming against, you know, all of the oppressions of black people. It's just really sad. I wish he'd, you know, get it right. Won't you get on one side or the other. Be hot or cold. Stop being lukewarm, because, you know, that's no way to be. You try to, you know, vacillate between the two. Pick one. Be on the side of the enemy or be on the side of God. That's where I'm at with it.
You know, listening to you, ladies, you've touched on, you know, several of my thoughts. And my thing is, you know, he does have some kind of a mental, you know, illness. He's been supposedly diagnosed. And I think it just, it does now, you know, kind of, you know, teeter and totter on, you know, the mental illness versus him just wanting to get attention. And my thing is, anybody who interviews him, you run the risk of having this on your show. So get ready to apologize. So Noriega, just continue on. You and your gin and juice. All righty, ladies. Shatif gave us the next story. Here we go again with the scam artist and, you know, the Atlanta socialite. Will, Dr. Will, or whatever you calling him, you know, he's going around and ripping people off as long as you buy into his business. And, you know, here we are with him making a presentation and to one person who bought into his business. And while she's waiting, he sends something else, but mama buys into the second. And I have thoughts there, too, because, you know. And then we now have another business that he claims to you can invest in. And the people don't know anything about you being involved with their business. But yet, it's your fault. It's your fault. People are only making this stuff up about him. Lady Tamika, what are we talking about here?
My heart goes out to the lady that and those that were offended financially by this guise to gain wealth. But, you know, speaking transparently, one of the places where I used to work, there was some issues with swindling. And the mentality of trying to gain wealth, I get that. But, you know, I'm looking at the situation. I'm waiting for proceeds from a company that you said, okay, I'm going to get a payback. You don't just put more income into it or into another venue. I need to see if this is real, you know. And so I can't see why the mother would put more money or give a greater amount when I haven't gotten the first proceeds yet. Just because of your word, you know, the sad part about it is you're so willing to gain that, you know, somebody's word is oh, I'm going to put money in there. And unfortunately, you know, you lose. You know, we often pray, we often talk about prayer and discernment and direction. And, you know, before you make moves like that, you really have to seek the Lord. Because otherwise, you know, when you start looking at it physically, you lose again.
All righty. Oh, Lady Nicole, you know, everybody being swindled at this point because we all need to make a move to get some money. What's your thought?
Yeah, you know what, I understand, you know, we are in a season, or not even in now, we always have been people, as, you know, about that money, trying to get wealth, and, you know, with the pandemic coming and all of the get rich quick and the things that are going on right now, I think, you know, it's just sign of the times. But I feel like even as a woman, and, you know, I don't know if she was in a relationship with him, or maybe she was, you know, I think it would definitely benefit us to do like a lot of times men do, compartmentalize stuff. It's one thing, okay, we can be in a relationship, you know, doing what we do, but guess what? When it comes to my money, that's in a whole separate box. And when you asking for it, even for investments, it's just a red flag for me. So I think if we can, you know, it would be wise to make sense that, okay, yes, we're cool, we're in a relationship, I may trust you to a point, but it's when it's about my money, that's a whole other box, and we got some other stuff that we got to look at when I'm going to release my funds. So that's where I'm at on it. Even though it wasn't cool, he was wrong, too. But, you know, let's just look at it like that.
Okay. Shantice says that, you know, the article is, you know, there could be some back, you know, behind the scenes stuff, but it's supposedly a completely complete business. It's a business arrangement. They're not intermingling an intimate relationship with this here. So, you know, we we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, though. Let's see. Elder Natisha, what are we talking about here?
You know, I agree with both the ladies. I think that, yes, we ought to pray, and yes, we ought to be mindful of our money, but I also think, right, that as women and as people of color, I mean, investing is something that we should be doing. I don't think that, you know, investing is a sign of the love, you know, of the love of money, but I do think that it is one of the things that we can do to leave legacy and to leave, you know, some wealth for our family and for our grandkids and things of that nature. So I'm not necessarily against the idea of, you know, investing and wanting to invest. But like my sister Tamika said, being prayerful. And here's what prayerful means. Prayerful means that I'm going to do my due diligence, right? Because what prayer does is it gives us wisdom. Prayer gives us the ability to not only just try to discern a business transaction, but it gives us the know-how to go and research a company for ourselves. To just take the word of an individual and just hand that person my money, like Sister Nicole said, like, no, that's absolutely out of, that's absolutely, like, not going to happen. But what can happen is that I can do due diligence. I can contact the business myself. I can do some research before investing my money. If I'm giving you $5,000, oh, yes, I need to speak to somebody at the business, not you as the representative, and I'm just going to take your word for it without doing my due diligence. No, that's not what, you know, God gives us wisdom for. Wisdom means that we're going to be able to do our due diligence. Discerning means I'm going to discern that maybe you're telling the truth and maybe you're not, so I'm going to go find out for myself.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I think that that's what the biggest hole is here. You know, maybe you just did not do the due diligence. The first thing I thought was what Lady Tamika said. If I didn't get any return from the first investment, I'm not going and go introduce somebody else and see you put money into something without, you know, me seeing what happened with the first thing. Now, it could very well be where both sides have different returns. You know, one may be good, one may be bad, but I think I want to err on the side of, you know, just kind of waiting this out here. So before I decide to, you know, go another route or go to, you know, I want to sit still for a minute. Another woman gave $20,000. So, you know, he's got the women giving. He's got them giving. So, you know, I don't know. We just got to be careful about what we are choosing to invest in and making sure, like all the ladies have said, that these are reputable companies. Because who got money? You know, Elder and I teach you through our $5,000. All I know is if I put my five out there and you came up with some okie doke, oh, it's going to be on. $5,000 is not, you know, it's not a whole lot of money to some people, but it's, you know, this is some people's, you know, investment, and, you know, that's a lot of money for some people, and it's a little bit of money for some people, but all in all, we want to make sure we're paying attention and doing, like the ladies have said, pay attention, do your due diligence, and we ain't going to be behind the eight ball so often. Well, we have our final, our wow story of the morning, and this is the Kirk Franklin, you know, lyric challenge, I want to call it. And again, they're pointing out the lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat. Lady Nicole, if you heard these lyrics, the volume on your Kirk Franklin song, hey, hallelujah, and then you heard these, then you heard these lyrics, what would your thought be? Wait, before you start, our anchor lady has wants to say something in addition. Yes, Shantis?
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot to read Kirk Franklin's tweet in response to a lot of the backlash that he's been getting. He tweeted, in hip-hop, who's the GOAT? In hip-hop, the GOAT means greatest of all times. It's always a discussion. So I use lion and lamb metaphorically to say that everyone who thinks they're the best will someday have to bow down to the best, meaning Jesus was the ultimate greatest of all time. It's hyperbole, that's how you pronounce it, right? Not theology. Have a great night. And hyperbole, because, you know, God got me big on definitions for me, so I know what I'm reading. That means exaggerated statements or claims not meant to be taken literally. So he's saying that that was just something that he dragged out, as we would say in the streets, you know, to kind of fit the hip-hop world, that was not meant literally, but more to just fit the acronym of what the GOAT stands for, you know, in the streets.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Shanti. And this is funny because I was wondering if he had made a statement. So thank you for clarifying that. So, Lady Nicole, we back to hallelujah in it. And, you know, you bouncing and, you know, you driving in your car and, you know, you do. And then you hear these lyrics. What comes to your mind?
For me, that's funny that she just gave that, you know, his tweet, because I was like, I need to follow up on this story because I'm a Kirk Franklin fan. And had I heard that, I automatically, when someone says the GOAT, I know it means the greatest of all times. It's a word that has been commonly used. So I would have been thinking that he's talking the greatest of all times. He was talking about Jesus Christ. That would have been my first thought. And that's funny that he said that. So, and I would have felt the same way even in his lyrics, that he was using it kind of like as a symbol and not saying that, you know, that Jesus was going to be bowing to anybody. And that's because of my opinion of Kirk Franklin, you know, listening to his music just down through the years, even seeing, you know, like his situation that we mentioned before with his son and his response and, you know, watching and following him, I would not have thought negative about that comment because, like I said, I would have felt like the GOAT when he was talking about Jesus Christ. So that's my take on it.
All right. Elder Natisha, you bumping Kirk? Uh-oh. What are you thinking?
I think because you know, we know what the GOAT is, the greatest of all time. Like, as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, child, here go. You know, here we go with just taking things, you know, and blowing them up. And we have a tendency to do that, right? And here's the thing that's so interesting to me is that everyone wants to denote themselves as biblical scholars. Well, biblical scholars, those who've gone to seminary, will know that there is figurative language in the Bible, right? And not everything was literal, that there was figurative, parables, right? Like, everything is not literal. Here this man is in an artistic environment, and I get that. As the people of God, we have to be careful. And in fact, I don't think that every stage is for us. And I think that we find ourselves in these positions We find ourselves in these positions because we're not supposed to be a part of these stages. And that is how your words can get misused and can get missed, you know, can be taken out of context because you ain't got no business there, Kirk Franklin. Period. But we...
You get out of my head. Out of my head. Lady Tamika, what you got going on over there, girl?
It's very funny that Elder Natisha should mention that. Now, I love his music. I promise you I do. I love the, you know, the transitions and the lyrics and, you know, but throughout my life and listening to his music, you've always kind of stood in the middle in a sense, like you felt like you were safe there. And so to me, you know, when you think of a song and you say, stomp, make me clap my hands, make me want to dance, when you're starting to think about, like, okay, I get the premise, but really, honestly, am I physically stomping? No, I'm stomping in prayer, but that's not what you're saying, you know, and you think that that's safe. It's not. Even, you know, other songs that we've listened to, in the middle of a song, you say, booyaka, booyaka, oh, wait a minute, that is a gunshot. Wait, why are we doing that in gospel? So I'm just thinking, realistically in life, wait a minute, you're either going to stand on one side fully or you're going to put your weight on the other side fully and not straddle. And so that's where the issue comes. Now you're faced with the battle between, you know, left and right because of what you said. You have to be very, very careful. You know, you might have thought it was strategic, but now look at what's happening. Now it's almost as if it's crumbling on itself because you should have took a stand on one side or the other. And I understand that you're trying to appeal to a genre or, let's say, a group of people who may not ever listen to gospel. But you, I mean, when you think about it, you got music playing every day. You got people playing gospel loud, you're out in the street. You got people playing secular music loud out in the street. When God wants to get your attention, he gets your attention by you being you and standing right fully, putting your weight fully on God.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's funny because when Shantice gave the lyrics, the first thing I thought of was, well, they've been using this goat, quote unquote, quite a bit in these last few years. It has, you know, become an abundant use of that word. You know, you heard that word years ago, and all of a sudden now, it seems to be gaining some momentum. Well, we know why, because every time something begins to, you know, to when something's introduced, then before you know it, everybody and their mama want to do it. Everybody and their mama want to say it and sing it. So that's the first thing. I did not take it where, you know, it was this one literally bowing down and it was, you know, subservient and things like that. So I did think of the GOAT in that aspect of greatest of all time. Coming from Kirk Franklin, that was the next thought. Yes, that's probably what he was saying, because if you listen to his lyrics in general, that's what he kind of talks about on a consistent basis. So it would have been a real switch to hear him you know, say or co-sign or something like that. My other thought was what Elder Natisha said. I said, now here we are at the BET Awards. Now, you know, years ago, gospel was not included in the BET Awards. But if you notice, who do they invite? They invite the ones that had that crossover effect. You know, they invite the Kirk Franklin, and I happen to love me some Kirk Franklin. So I'm definitely not speaking against him in that essence. And it's wonderful that, you know, okay, so he's able to reach different people with his genre, just lost my thought. You know, something, okay, let me just start somewhere else because I really lost my thought. You know, you're on this stage with the secular. You are the only gospel, and we know, yes, you can be there and you might make a difference, but yeah, we ain't gotta be in every one of those platforms. And coming from a person who says God's people gotta be everywhere, again, I also say that sometimes we are less influential than we think. And, you know, here you are with people who you got a mixed group here. So you don't know what's going to go down after you, you know, come up off that stage or why you're on that stage. And, you know, my thought was, well, should you have been there doing that? So my thought kind of went in the same direction. And, you know, this is the gamble we take. You know, this is the risk we take, you know, when, you know, you go and you get involved in these different arenas. You know, yes, God's people need to be everywhere, but again, there's a level of discernment as to where, when, how, why. And so we got to be real careful about certain things. And I think that's one of the downfalls that we have. We're injecting ourselves in everything. We're letting people pull us in everything, and we don't necessarily need to be there. And, oh, here's what I was going to say in closing. I have this, I'm real funny about remaking secular songs and making them gospel songs. Because part of my thought is, hasn't that already been given to? Hasn't that already been used for? And he is one who, you know, he's done several covers. And Kanye, some of his stuff, big covers. So that's the other thing, you know. Then I'm like, okay, and when we teeter on things like that, you know, he's covering a Missy Elliott song. And, you know, when we're covering these people's music that has already been given to the world, given to the enemy, then what are we doing, you know? So, you know, I'm always real funny about that. I don't listen to a lot of those songs that are covers, you know. They had on CBN, and I'm going to close it down with this one. They had on CBN a guy who was singing, not CBN, TBN, I'm sorry. Isn't that the gospel one, TBN, the Christian channel?
Mm-hmm.
They had him
on.
Okay, thank you. They had this guy on doing a cover of Sex Me by R. Kelly. Now, how you figured you could cross over and do both, I don't know, but that was the song he was covering, Sex Me. So, again, you know, do we sometimes take it too far? Give it an individual an inch, they take a mile. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things to be considered here, you know, when we're entering this realm. Thank you, ladies, for covering our socially conscious segment. I can't go back, unfortunately, because I want to cover this this topic today. You know, I started off with something else, and then I kind of gravitated to this. And, you know, we're talking about jealousy today. And there are several layers to this jealousy thing. And I want us to try to cover as much as we can before we get to our final segment of the day. And I want to talk about signs. I want to start off with the signs that someone is jealous of you. And one of the points that they make is she tries to be the center of attention when you're there. And we'll start with you, Elder Natisha.
I think that can definitely be a sign when someone wants to kind of up you, or if they feel like, you know, they are in your shadow, then you see them trying to exert themselves even more. They're doing things to bring attention to themselves.
And so that's a sign that they, the way that they are interpreting their relation to you is that they sense that they are inferior, which is a lie, but it is one of the things that jealousy does. Jealousy causes you to feel inferior, intimidated by another individual. And so I would definitely say that, you know, when you have a person in your midst that is trying to, you know, make sure that they are not hidden in your shadow, that's because that's already what they feel. It's because that's already what they have, you know, have they have in their heart, have in their mind concerning their relation to you. So definitely pay attention to that. Someone who's loud and, so, you know, and you're like, why are you so loud? Like, you're not normally like this. So why are you so loud today? Why are you with other people and you want to dominate the conversation, right? That's another thing that people do. So definitely keep those things at the forefront and watch out.
All right, all right. Lady Tamika, I want you to take She Gossips About You behind your back, please.
That's a real big one, you know. Whereas you think that, you know, she's really there for you, you know, and you find out later on that there were some things said about you. And when you find out, you know, that it was from that individual, wait a minute, we're supposed to be, you know, tight. We're supposed to be hanging together. You're not expecting those type of things. And, you know, you need to be really guarded and very careful in information that you disseminate to the individual, you know, and even in some cases, you may not even give anything. They just, you know, to make you look bad and to make themselves look better, they provide information that has nothing to do with the truth. And we have to be very, very careful who we align with.
Oh, all righty, all righty. Lady Nicole, how about she avoids gathering in your honor? Oh, is that a sign of jealousy?
Ooh, that's a good one. This whole topic is a topic of interest for me. So, yeah, she doesn't want to gather, for celebrations for me. I believe it definitely is a sign of jealousy, and I think we have to definitely, as others have said, use wisdom and discernment. And I feel like a lot of times with people, and I know most of the time, people that are struggling with jealousy, it really has zero to do with the person that the jealousy is projected on, but everything to do with them. And so since this is an area that I've been really, really, that I've experienced and that I have researched and prayed about, and even, you know, as I look back over my life, I have come to the conclusion to try and look above that with people and be like, it's terrible the way that they're treating me, but I have a clear understanding that it has nothing to do with me and all to do with them, because I make sure on my end that I'm the type of friend that I want to receive. So, you know, be the change you want to see. So I make sure that I'm that person who's loyal, who's supportive, you know, who is doing what I can to, you know, show that love and show that friendliness so that somebody can in turn give it to me. And when they don't, you know, when they're doing things like this, not being supportive, then that's definitely something I have to kind of step back and look at again and you know, ask some of those hard questions like, is this the person that, you know, I want to continue to be in relationship with, or is it time for me to just walk away?
All righty, all righty. Elden Aitisha, here's one I thought was interesting. She praises you when she can benefit from it. Oh my goodness gracious, is this one big? Elden Aitisha, are you talking to the mute button?
I'm sorry, I sure was. I said I'm going to be transparent. I should be transparent and kind of put myself out there, not from the perspective of the one who was, you know, the recipient of jealousy, but actually in my younger days, the one who was jealous. And yes, utilizing
the ability to say, oh, yes, she's amazing and she's great, right? And utilizing that to say, well, this is why we're connected. Like her connection to me is what also makes me great. Because I'm connected to her, this is what validates who I am. So I'm going to lift her up because in lifting her up, you see me differently, right? Like that's what we're talking about. And
right.
It had everything, as we've communicated, it had everything to do with me and how I felt unworthy, right? And we could go so deep with that because that can stem down to life experience and some of those unhealthy roots that can exist in us. And so, you know, it's how you view yourself. It's the inadequacies that you feel about yourself. It's believing the lies of the enemy and believing the lies of other individuals who have spoken things to you that makes you feel like you're so small, you're so less than, your sins make you disqualified, that someone else is who you have to use to validate who you are. But the beautiful thing about being in Jesus is that he can heal and lift you up to a point where you recognize that I don't need anything but be who I am. It's when I step into my uniqueness, when I step into who God has made me, that I am able to find the truth about who I am, and I don't have to believe those lies anymore. So I wanted to just encourage the person who may be listening to this broadcast, and you are the person who's experiencing that jealousy. You don't have to stay there, or not experiencing it, but you're the one who is jealous. You don't have to stay there. God can heal you and deliver you from that.
All right, ladies, y'all going all out there in the ocean. I ain't got there yet. Don't let me have to catch up to you. Come on. I'm coming. That's why I said I wanted to make sure we started early because there's some stuff I want to cover. So hold on to them gems. Hold on to them gems, ladies. Ladies, come on. Lady Tamika, you're dating someone she used to have feelings for. Do you see a little jealousy coming out in that?
Yeah. Especially if your relationship is blossoming, you know, whereas, you know, you should be celebrating me or my relationship or the fact that it's working for me. You're still saying, well, it didn't work for me. And, you know, what makes you so good? You know, unfortunately, the bad part about that is instead of celebrating the fact that I'm happy and that, you know, things are working out for me and I'm established, you're more saying, well, what's wrong, you know, what's wrong with me? Why can't, you know, I get that relationship? There's nothing about celebrating me. It's only your downfall. You also start to internalize that thing, and as opposed to being the good person that you could be, you know, you could be manipulative. You know, that's when the rumors start, you know, you're not being there for me. Those are all different avenues that lead you to showing exactly who you are.
All righty. Let's see, we got one more to do. Lady Nicole, they give a point where they give backhanded compliments. I like that one.
that's funny because that came across my mind. Definitely people that do that, I'm come to the same point again, like, you know, I understand where it's coming from. And so how do I respond? How do I do? I just, the compliments that they may be feeling like they're doing backhanded to me, their motive may be wrong, but I'm going to see the compliment and take it as, oh, thank you. It's kind of like, you know, that story of the farmer with the donkey was old and wanted to get rid of him, and he just decided to dig a hole and dropped the donkey in the hole. He began to shovel dirt, and every time the farmer shoveled the dirt, the donkey would just shake it off and step up all the way until he basically got to the top of the hole,
donkey shook it off and just walked away. So I'm like that. I'm going to see the gold in what you thought you was throwing shade with, and I'm going to elevate myself from that. So, yeah.
All righty, ladies. Thank you. That was round one. So, you know what, here, I'm gonna switch this up here a little bit. I'm going to switch this up a little bit. Since y'all went into a certain direction. You know, the second phase of this, you know, we started off with, you know, how to tell if someone is jealous of you. Let's bring this back to us. And that's the second phase. How to tell when we're experiencing jealousy. So, you know what, everybody's been there somewhere, sometimes, whether it was in your former life, whether it was yesterday, whatever the situation is. Elder Nautica said this was many years ago when she was about 12. She experienced this. But Elder Nautica, give us an example of when you knew you were jealous. I'm not even going to look at the experts, what they say. I want us to talk personal. So what was one of the times that you knew you were jealous? Don't go into anything else because there's several phases here. Just to tell us about how you knew this particular thing you were either doing, feeling, thinking, or saying meant that you were jealous.
I knew I was jealous when my husband would be on the phone with a coworker who, you know, happened to be a female, and I would start talking to him in the midst of his conversation.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Interesting. Lady Tamika, I'm going to use Elder Nautica's phrase. I knew I was jealous when?
I knew I was jealous when she said to me, I'm getting married. And I said to myself, well, what is it that you know, I'm older than you, and, you know, I've been living this life for a minute, you know, and I should be married first, you know. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, later on, many years later, it's like, well, who made you, you know, who says that because you're at a certain age, you're supposed to be? But it wasn't even all about that. It was just the fact that she's getting married and I'm not.
All right. I'm sure some people can identify with these things you ladies are bringing up. Come on, Lady Nicole. I knew I was jealous when...
Definitely when you have to ask yourself the question, why them and not me, kind of what has been said. But that's, again, an indication for me. Thankfully, that's not an area I struggle a lot in, but truth be told, it definitely come across my mind, like, well, how come they get that and I don't have it? And then you have to just kind of come to yourself and realize that, okay, what God does for one, he will certainly do for another. But you definitely, there are those times that you have that thought, like, man, I wish I could have had that or did that, and like she is, or I wish I had what she had. So when those questions come up, yeah, you got to really kind of be aware of that and check yourself on that for sure.
All righty. Come on, we got one more round of this, ladies. I knew I was jealous when? Elder Nautica.
I'm sorry, you went out. I didn't hear the rest of it. You said, I knew I was jealous when?
No, you're going to fill in that blank. We're going to go for one more round.
Oh, got you. Sorry.
It's okay.
I knew I was jealous when I said to my daughter, well, how many times is my grandson going to be over at the other grandmother's house?
Whoa, my goodness. Good stuff. Girl, you're talking to a whole lot of people. Trust me when I tell you.
Wow, wow. Good stuff, good stuff. All right, Lady Tamika, come on. We got one more round at this. I knew I was jealous when.
Why you got to speak to me certain like this? You know, you don't speak to her that way or you don't speak to them that way. Why is it when you talk to me, your tone is different? And it's just me. Sometimes it could just be me. Sometimes it just might be something. But why your tone? Why you got to talk to me like that? You know, you don't talk to them that
wow.
way.
Wow. Wow. I love this. I love this because y'all are hitting, like, some serious stuff here. I want to translate that. I want to put that on the other side, Lady Tamika. I'm going to extend that. You know, when you talk all nice to her, why when you talk to me, you don't use that same tone of voice? Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many times I've heard that come from the ladies. Well, when he talks to her, you know, he sound all nice and he's all soft. And when he talks to me, I just get the regular voice. God. You ladies are touching on some stuff here today. Come on, Lady Nicole, we got one more round at this. I knew I was jealous when.
I knew I was jealous when I was asking, how come you know that I need this help and you ain't helping me, but you help them? I can.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm loving the transparency because the next phase of this is how do you deal with jealousy? And you ladies have brought out some deep stuff. You know, this is not no surface stuff, you know, and it's going to make this phase of what we're talking about, this level, even more important because people are going to be able to identify with what you're saying even more because you've just spoken into their life. So, Elder and I, teacher, we're into our phase of how you deal with jealousy. Well, the first thing they say is to admit to yourself that you're jealous. Mm-hmm. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. If I go back to my first example, right? So he's on the phone talking to the coworker, and they clearly are talking about business things or whatever the case may be. And so once I started just talking, his shock, so he looked at me with such shock.
Wow.
Like, I didn't think, why are you doing this? And that caused me to have to take a closer look at myself and say, girl, you're better than how you behave. You are better than how you're behaving. You are better than what you're thinking the other person on the phone, you know, like you're better than that. So I had to really just lay it before God and say, okay, let me go all the way back to the root. You know, if anybody who knows me knows that I'm a person who believes you got to go to the root. I don't think healing can really truly happen unless you go to the root of where it stems from. And again, believe it or not, it still stemmed from childhood things that made me feel inadequate. And so if you are giving attention to someone else and it seems like there's this frequent conversation, this frequent attention, well, now that to me lands in a space in me where, oh, I'm inadequate. And so I had to go before God and say, God, let's uproot this. Let's pull this up because I really am too dope to be feeling this. I don't know what this is about. I don't know why. But I'm too dope to feel this.
She said, I'm too dope to feel this. I like that. That's good. I like that. Good stuff, ladies. Good stuff. Come on, Lady Tamika. First of all, you got to, you know, like Elder and I teacher said, you know, the healing can't begin unless you admit that you're even there and you need the healing. What are we talking about?
You know, I like to sometimes use visuals. Jealousy is different in that it doesn't have a smell. You know, I use the visual of, you know, body odor. Let's just say, you know, you should smell yourself before anybody else does. You know, and let's just say jealousy, it can be kind of like that. The sad part about it is with jealousy, everybody else is seeing it. You know, everybody else is smelling and seeing its after effects, and you're the last one to know. In actuality, we often have to pray, God, show me me. You know, let me see. You know, sometimes, and God is strategic about how he reveals things to you. You know, you could see something on television and go, ooh, am I like that? You know, and you might be sitting in a set of people. You know, family is a good one. Family, they are good about telling you about you. Do I do that? Mm-hmm. You see the whole room going, mm-hmm, coughing, that type of thing. Because they're letting you know, child, that is all the way you. You know, I've seen things on television. My family go, look at you. You know, and it's, you know, God has a way of letting you know, you know, hey, baby, you ain't there yet. You haven't arrived. And we truly, truly need to see God. God, help me be better. Those areas that I need fixing, that corner over there that I swept something way back there and don't realize it until, uh-oh, you done came up upon that little corner. Now it's revealed. God, go there, those avenues. I'm opening myself all the way up to you. Heal me from the top to the bottom, the left, the right, above, beneath, within, all around me so that I can be better and so that those traits that have been hidden way in the back, God, go there so that I can be healed fully and so that I can help somebody else.
All right. Oh, Lady Nicole, we're talking about just admitting to the fact that you are jealous is the beginning of the process.
So you're saying, how do I recognize that I'm jealous? Is that the question you asked?
No, that... Now, this process needs to start where you come up out of this thing. But how do we start if we don't even realize, or we don't even admit, let me rephrase that we don't even admit that we're jealous? The first thing we need to do is admit that we're jealous. And a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely just you just got to get to a place where you don't have to hear, you know, what other people are saying. A lot of times if we don't see it ourselves, we will hear from other people, our children even, people that are close to us or people that just know of us. We got to learn how to begin to listen. And a lot of times it takes some self-analyzation, some self-reflection, surely, and wanting to improve ourselves, you know. I think that's really important for us.
All righty. Here's the next thing, and it was touched upon, but you know, sometimes when we touch on it, I like to get it nailed. And what they're saying is, make sure you identify with what you need, and you have all said this, but I want to zero in on this thing because we're talking about how to come up out of this jealousy and understanding what your needs are is big. Lady Tamika.
Yeah, that's a difficult area, but it's not unattainable. And, you know, sometimes we may not necessarily know, you know, what that right step is, but that is why we have the assembly of gathering of people, of individuals who have arrived and can help you there. We have seniors that can pray you through, walk you through, direct you and point you in the right direction. And, of course, paramount we have God.
All right. Lady Nicole, you know, Elder Natisha, you know, she touched on it in her in her other presentation, but you know, we need to deal with this jealousy, and one of the things we need to figure out is, why am I here? How did I get here? Why am I jealous? Why am I behaving like this? What's your thought?
That's funny. I was just listening to something about someone had mentioned finding out the root of the fruit and thinking about past traumas and past tragedies that we have went through and how they are
triggers to what goes on now, how we feel about a thing, how we perceive a thing. And then they also mentioned that there is a stain on the brain, meaning, you know, those things that you went through, if anything seems anywhere remotely close to what that thing was that caused our brain to go there and go to that shutdown or go to that fight or flight type of thing, that it just comes up. And so we have to literally go back sometimes, even to our childhood, if we were bullied or if we were abused or whatever that thing is, if those things aren't healed and we aren't getting help for them, that they will surely come out later in life and even down through generations, through our children, through our children's children. So we got to get to the root of stuff.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, being that you introduced this that concept, Elder Natisha, I want to give you something else. And I like this one. Refrain from making rash decisions. Ooh, I like that one. Part of knowing how to deal with this jealousy is don't be doing all kind of things. What are we telling our ladies and our listeners?
Yeah, you know something? When I think about the process of coming out of it, you know, to your point of being able to identify within ourselves, like, the difference, you know, with the words that we're using. So when I went in, and this is the beauty about going into prayer, because when I went into prayer, what I felt in my spirit was, what is the difference between jealousy and envy? And so then that took me on a word search. And word searches are important because when we start looking at the word that we associate with ourselves, then that is also how we break the curse. We take the power out of the lie. So when I looked up the difference between envy and jealousy, envy was just simply that I wanted what somebody else had. But jealousy was I didn't trust that what I had was enough. I didn't trust that who I was enough. And so because of that, I felt like it could be taken. My husband could be taken. My grandson can be taken. My children can be taken, right? Like, it's not trusting that I'm enough, that I'm adequate. And so what that did is when those feelings began to arise in me, I was able to identify what is this? Is this jealousy or is this envy? And then I could hit straight on. When the feeling would come up, I am enough. I'm not even giving into this feeling because I am enough. That's a lie. It's a lie that they can take what I have, right? Or if it was envy, I was able to identify that they don't have anything that I want and that God can't give me. You know, so that was the process. That was the process of coming out of that.
All right. I like that. Lady Tamiko. You know, they say that, you know, you need to do the repair work. You know, start doing the repair work. Elder and I teach you just some. Y'all been walking all over my stuff all morning long. You know, do that repair work. You know, she did her word search. You know, give us another example of what that repair work looks like. That repair work looks like going into your emotional closet, those areas that you have found the hardest, and really internalizing. Why did the way that he looked at me bother me? Was it something that my dad did when I was younger? Does that expression, are those two expressions, you know, close? You know, who am I talking to at this moment? Who am I reacting to when you grab me by my arm? And I'm not saying that that's, you know, but I'm just saying you might have been playing, but because of something that happened in the past, now I'm angry. What is it that I'm trying to, you know, when I go on that, when I'm angry, you know, especially when we're angered, when our emotions trigger really, really fast and we can't understand why, that's when we really need to go back. Okay, where did that come from? You know, and then especially when you say, you know, I don't know why I reacted that way. Go back. Go all the way back. Go into the closets. Go into the cupboards. of your mind and look back and really genuinely say, okay, where did that come from? You know, why did I act that way? Why was I jealous because she got a new job? You know, was it something that happened in the past? You know, was it, you know, I got a sister and she got a better something than I got? You know, was it, you know, maybe she earned it? You know, you don't know what the issue is, but you need to go way back and find out to the very, very bottom of that plant and pull it up if necessary. You know, whatever it is, heal it, you know, nurse it, you know, wrap it, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, pray, you know, so that it can be turned around.
All right, all right, all right. Lady Nicole, we're talking about repair work. For you, what does that repair work look like?
That repair work looks like for me really, really asking those hard questions of myself and then certainly asking the Lord about it. God, what is it? What do I show me myself? What do I need to do? Show me where these things are coming from. Show me the root of it, so that I can now begin to do the work and know what it is for me to be healed so that I can be better. Definitely, I think journaling absolutely helps when we are in prayer and we are asking the questions of the Lord, being able to sit in silence and really hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying.
Amen, amen, ladies. Oh, you have done an excellent job on part one of jealousy. And y'all were just all in my stuff today. And, it just shows that, you know, this is extremely broad and all connected and hard to, compartmentalize. And, you know, one thought definitely takes you to another thought. And I give God thanks for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Enjoy, everyone. Be safe.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Take care.
All righty. Okie dokie. Ooh, what a powerful segment. It's the top of Wednesday morning, and we are blessed to have our Pastor Charlene here this morning. She wasn't up to it yesterday. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today, my darling?
I am well, thanks. How are you feeling? We're glad to hear your voice today.
Thank the Lord. I'm coming along. But I wanted to be on today. So I
amen,
thank the Lord.
Amen. Giving God thanks for answered prayer. It, although you may not be completely feeling better, but there's enough in you for you to join us today. So, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about this jealousy thing. The ladies have definitely given us a broad stroke of this entire jealousy thing, and we still got some ways to go because we do have another segment next week. But when you think about the faith over fear aspect, what comes to your mind?
First, I do want to say thank you all for your prayers. So I wanted to make sure that I said that first.
Wait, Pastor Charlene. I'm sorry, Pastor Charlene. Say that one more time. For some reason, you went out. Say that one more time for us, please.
Oh, I was saying, I thank you all for your prayers first.
Oh, okay.
You hear me clearly? I said I
yes.
wanted to get that yes. said first, you know, out the way, because I'll be done forgot at the end. So I wanted to make sure that I said that. What came to mind of jealousy and being fearful of that thing. I thought about first, a lot of times we start off envying of something that someone has, and it leads into jealousy because we allow it to manifest, and with that, we do feel that we're not enough. Speaking of my own self, of being in that place, and I found that jealousy was so dangerous, you know, in my emotions, and I allowed it to override of me knowing that who I was and who I am in God. A lot of times when we don't take care of it, as I know someone stated, and of taking it to God, we always think that we are able to do it ourselves because we cover it. In my situations of where that, because I'm so family oriented, I always loved when I see like families come together, sisters having that sisterhood, you know, things that is not in my life, that mother and daughter, even dealing with in ministry, as I was walking through ministry, of how they ministry blossom faster than the ministry that God given me. But it was my insecurity. It was because of me. So I knew that at that time, by me dealing with it, it turned into sickness, because jealousy can move right into sickness, and it'll make you feel some kind of way, and it will, inside you, will eat you up. So that was my fear of, I needed to learn how to take it to God and leave it, because a lot of times we think that we're not jealous in some areas, but if you actually look at it as seeing yourself on the outside, you will be able to see that you are jealous. We're so busy saying, no, I'm not, when someone might bring it to your attention, that you just continue to make it grow even more. It's like water, that you just put water on it and keep growing. Put water on it and it just keeps growing. But you have to deal with it. So for myself, what made me so fearful is that other people would see it. Other people would comment on it. Other people, I would say, no, I'm not, but really I knew on the inside that I was. So I had to be able to admit, as it was stated, you know, in the process of admitting it. And now where do I go with it, of being admitted? Going and being able to say to that person, listen, you know, I've been feeling some kind of way, and address it, saying it out loud and being able to say, yes, I am. And this is why, and then go back into of why. And it always, everything that we deal with, 99.5% is from our childhood. So we had to be able to always search our heart, always looking and asking God to show us ourselves and what is hidden. Because a lot of times we only do the surface. We don't want to go into the deep part of it. So I had to continue to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, continue to always see my surroundings of how I'm feeling when a person walks in a room, how I'm feeling when a person is talking, to see, is that jealousy, you know, because of the fact that I didn't want to be jealous of someone, and I don't want someone to be jealous of me. So we have to be very careful, because it's easy to fall into that. So even dealing with that, and that's something that you don't want that attention, you know, to be able not to deal with, and being knowing that people are watching us, regardless you got a title or not, because we are child of the King, people are watching, and we know that jealousy God does not like. So therefore, we have to be able to know that, and stop your brakes, check yourself. The word tells us to examine ourselves, and we need to do it daily to examine, because sometimes our jealousy can make someone else stumble. So that would be the fear part of it as well. We don't want anybody else to stumble, because it's easy for you to be jealous of someone, and now you're telling me about it, and next thing I know, I'm hooked up in it with you, you know, and where I wasn't thinking it before, because I let's go, birds of the feather flock together. So sometimes our emotions are get caught up because of our surroundings. So you have to be very careful and be mindful of what you're doing and how someone else is portraying on you. And that's my faith over fear on today.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for giving us that faith over fear segment and word today on jealousy. We pray that you continue to be better and that you have a blessed day.
You all do the same, and thank you so much once again for your prayers.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, let's get that benediction. You know what? I'm looking at the time here. Let's go before the Lord, holding hands and holding heart. Ah, Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you are just an awesome wonder. We thank you to Heavenly Father because you decided, you made the decisive decision today to wake us all up this morning. And whatever it is that we needed in these conversations, dear Heavenly Father, you had prepared for us. We don't know who's listening. We don't know who will listen today, next week, next month, next year, if you should spare our life, God. And we thank you for this opportunity to minister, God. Lord, we pray that every word that falls is taken in its proper context, dear Heavenly Father. We know that things can be misconstrued, God, possibly based on the hearer, dear Heavenly Father. Listen to the conversation as we listen to the story of Kirk Franklin and how there's an uproar, and that uproar may be unnecessary just because they mistook what was said. And we're giving you thanks, dear Heavenly Father, that you have given us an opportunity to always come to you for clarification, always coming to you for guidance. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that automatically gives us a discerning thought and understanding as to how things really are. And before we get our feelings hurt, before we become twisted, before we misconstrue things, God, that you would just settle the understanding, settle the thought. Give us that wisdom that we needed, God. And we thank you, God, for when we needed that moment, when at first it looked like, when first we thought of, when first we understood it to be, but then you just breathed on through, and that still small voice just spoke to us, and it became clear to us. We give you thanks that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, God. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for being the words that we don't know to say on our own, that your Holy Spirit would fill our mouths, our minds, our hearts with what it is that we need to go before you for, and that we're not just going before you just for arbitrary things just because we want, just because it looks like it's good. We're talking about envy and jealousy today, dear Heavenly Father. Either way you look at this thing, it is not what you want from any of us. It is not what you expect from any of us, because we all know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, God. That whatever we have is exactly what you want us to have, God. And I pray, God, that we don't feel slighted. I pray to Heavenly Father that we don't feel like you're just not doing enough for us, God. I pray to Heavenly Father that we're not looking across the board and just asking, well, why not? But that we have learned to be content, as Paul spoke to Heavenly Father. Lord, I know it's for some of us it's difficult because just as has been said today, a lot of these feelings and thoughts stem from our childhood. What we got too much of, what we didn't get enough of, what we wanted but couldn't get, what our parents said no to, but we thought we should have been able to do it, have it.
Lord, we ask that as adults that we think soberly on these things, that we won't pull our children out of church because someone made us go to church when we were children, that we won't pressure our children to do certain things because when we were younger, we were pressured to do things. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our spirits. Open up our minds. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That no matter what we heard today, yesterday, the day before, what we will hear tomorrow and going forward, we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to just give us that understanding. That we would be so connected with you, God, that we wouldn't need no 15 and 20 minutes to get it, because that could be a very costly 15 or 20 minutes. But we pray, God, that when we hear, we automatically can either eat the fish and spit out the bones, accept it completely, or reject it completely. But that all that discernment and wisdom would come from you. We're not underestimating what you can do in our life, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to give you thanks for Pastor Charlene feeling just a little better, dear God, and answering our prayer. We're thanking you, God, for every listener. We're thanking you, God, that, you know, you have given us an opportunity to not just be hearers, but to be doers of your word. We thank you, God, for our panel today. And we pray to Heavenly Father that they stay prayed up. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they study to show themselves approved, God, because we never know when we're going to need to minister and to speak up for what we believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for selecting us to be on this side of the fence. That again, we're still not walking around blindly, but we're walking around with eyes that are able to see, ears that are able to hear. And let us be ready to explain anything that's coming our way. Let us put all jealousy aside. Let us put all envy aside. Because again, those words, those feelings, you don't want for us, because you provide all of our needs according to your riches in glory. Thank you for loving us in a special way. Thank you for being so kind to us, even when we don't deserve it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Wow, what a powerful morning. What a powerful morning. You know, we give God thanks for everything that God, you know, always does for us. Always does for us. You know, this is not new. You know, this is not something that ever gets played out. We give God thanks for what he does for us on a regular basis. Oh, that is never grown though. Oh, I'm loving it. He's not going to be like man and look over at us and he's our friend today and now we got that new furniture or the yard is fixed up and now they're not our friend no more. Oh, what a sweet savior we have. Isn't it wonderful to have Jesus as your friend? You don't have to ever worry about any backstabbing or, you know, little things that they do. You know, they throw in shade when they say something about us. You know, and everything that they, you know, compliment we do, you know, he's got to, you know, get an honorary mention, you know, because if it wasn't for him, that's our job. That's our job, to big God and Jesus up. You know, it's it's beautiful to be able to make Jesus the center of our joy. And we don't have to worry about him coming into our lives wanting to be the center of attention. Wow. You know, when you just rest in God, when you rest in God, that's exactly what it feels like. That's exactly what it feels like a rest, like a sigh, like a woosah. You know what? I'm in the Lord, and nothing you can do is going to get me twisted. If you misunderstand me, if you slander my name, if you're jealous or envious of me, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Because I got God on my side. Do you know how much peace that brings us, that should bring us? You know, the word says, my peace I give to you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you don't worry about the back end of that verse, then you can really bask in that peace that God gives to you. You know, I think about how much peace, you know, as a leader, you look at your congregation, you get what they talk about, you understand what they go through, and you look at how many of them give up their peace. Oh. And you're like, yo, what is with this? God has settled everything. And you actually allowed something to come in and take your peace away. What kind of mess is that? You want to make sure that when God gives you peace, when Jesus is there to be your peace, you don't let anything or anyone else disturb that. And I have to tell you, envy and jealousy will do just that. That worry about what you don't have. That worry about what you want. That worry about why not. That worry about I should have, but you know what? I'm about 15 years past that point, and somebody got it when they were 15 years younger than me. All of that stuff disturbs your peace. How do we say thank you to God for giving us his son that would help us in this area, that would give us the calm even in the storm, but yet we give away that peace with envy and jealousy? Because that stuff eats away at you. It brings rottenness to your bones. Oh, that's that stress, that's that silent killer. When you're so busy enjoying less but wanting more, let us take a lesson today. The ladies gave it up big time today. And it's so broad. This can be used for something and so many things. As the ladies were talking today, I can't even tell you how many things hit me. But yet, I made sure to say thank you to God for him knocking on my door. Let God deal with any level of envy and jealousy and trade it off for peace. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my ladies, for coming through big time for us today. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not let the opportunity go by, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or to develop a closer relationship with Him right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God says, where it's Therapeutic Thursday, I love you.